RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Returning from Istanbul, President Joko Widodo conveys Indonesia proposed points at the OIC Extraordinary Summit. TNI Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto ensured the solidity of TNI and Polri after passing through a leadership transition procession. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo has arrived in Jakarta after attending the OIC Summit in Istanbul, Turkey yesterday. At Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in Jakarta, the President conveyed the important points proposed by the Indonesian government in the Extraordinary Summit. He said that Indonesia calls on OIC member states to strictly reject the United States' recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, as U.S. President Donald Trump has announced recently. In addition, President Joko Widodo also conveyed that Indonesia, in the Extraordinary Summit, encouraged OIC to improve the humanitarian aid needed by the Palestinian people in dealing with the conflict with Israel. He said that the aid could be in the form of increasing human resource capacity for the Palestinian people and economic cooperation with the Palestinian to improve the Palestinian economy.
Yang pertama, oke, harus secara tegas menolak.
Firstly, OIC must strictly reject the unilateral recognition and the two-state solution is the only solution with East Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine. Secondly, we invite all states that have embassies in Tel Aviv not to follow the decisions of the United States to move their embassies to Jerusalem. Thirdly, OIC's countries can be a motor to mobilize the support of a state that has not yet recognized the independence of Palestine for immediate action. Fourthly, the OIC countries have diplomatic relations with Israel should take diplomatic steps in accordance with the resolutions produced by the OIC. Fifthly, the members of the OIC should take steps together to improve humanitarian aid, capacity building, and economic cooperation to the Palestinians. The sixth point is that OIC must be able to become a motor for the movement in various international and multilateral forums.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo conveyed that OIC member states should support Palestine at the UN General Assembly. He feels that this can be done through the issuance of a resolution rejecting the United States' decision and ensuring the holding of a meeting specifically about Palestine. In addition, the President also remarked that OIC member states should also provide support in every Palestinian nomination as membership in various international organizations. TNI Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, accompanied by Army Chief of Staff General Mulyono, and head of TNI Navy Admiral Ade Supandi met with President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace of Bogor, West Java, on Thursday afternoon. In the meeting, they discussed a number of issues related to the implementation of the handover procession of 10E commander position that has been running smoothly and has been implemented recently. Marshal Hadi also said that the transition process in the 10E is running smoothly, thanks to the support of all parties in the internal 10E. Furthermore, 10E Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto also revealed that in the meeting, he ensured the solidity of the 10E after passing through the transition of leadership. He views that the solidity is necessary to ensure security and tranquility in the life of the state. The solidity is also ensured to take place not only in the internal body of the 10E, but also in the police. Furthermore, 10E Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto also said that the meeting between 10E and President Joko Widodo also discussed several issues related to the 10E. One of them is the strengthening of the strategic industry needed to support the strengthening of the 10E. He views that the strategic industry in the country needs to be paid attention to increase support for the main weapon system equipment for the 10E. Chairman of Indonesian Ulema Council, MUI, Kiai Ma'ruf Amin, has invited all religious people to join United Indonesia Action for Palestine, also popular as 1712 Action, at the Embassy of the United States and around National Monument on Sunday, December 17. He said that defending Palestine is the obligation for all Indonesian people. He also remarked that the Palestine helped Indonesia in the independence period. He views that all elements of this nation have to defend Palestine from colonialism and all kinds of unfair treatment. Kiai Ma'ruf added that he also invites all Indonesian people, including non-Muslim, to come together and show humanity and unity of Indonesian to defend Palestine. In addition, he also called out the millions of Muslims who will attend 1712 Action to keep their best attitude in protesting United States President Donald Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The World Bank predicts that the growth of Indonesia's gross domestic products GDP will increase to 5.1% by the end of 2017. This figure is increasing compared to the achievement of GDP in 2016, which is 5.0%. The World Bank predicts GDP growth will continue to be 5.3% in 2018. Lead economist World Bank representative in Indonesia, Frederico Gilsander, said that the increase in GDP is one of them driven by continued high investment growth. When describing the results of the World Bank report on the performance of the Indonesian economy in Jakarta on Thursday, he also explained that more and more plants are built and this will make the production level higher. The World Bank noted that Indonesia's investment growth in the third quarter of 2017 managed to rise to the highest level in the last 4 years. In addition to investment, Frederico added that the GDP growth will also be driven by increased consumption, although the amount is not too large. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution expects the new Yogyakarta International Airport train to operate by 2020. Ministry official Dwinanta Utama said in Jakarta on Thursday that the airport train will be constructed from 2018 to 2019. The ministry will build a new lane from Kedundang Station, Kulon Progo, to New Yogyakarta International Airport, with a distance of 5.4 kilometers. He explained that the airport train project may adopt either at-grade or elevated rail design with the government and state-owned enterprises cooperation scheme. The total cost for at-grade rail design reaches 1.07 trillion rupiah and elevated rail is 1.99 trillion rupiah. The major difference between the two designs is the construction's cost. Rinanta Utama also explained that the cost of construction for at-grade rail design is 320 billion rupiah, whereas elevated rail design is 1.24 trillion rupiah. Indonesian Transportation Ministry will choose one of the two designs that will affect the decisions on the feasible tariff. The World Bank has said that newly appointed Director General of Taxations, Robert Pakpahan, who assumed office on December 1st, needs to create programs to draw more taxpayers in trying to boost the country's tax revenue. Speaking during the launch of the World Bank's December edition of the Indonesia Economic Quarterly, World Bank Indonesia lead economist Frederico Jill Sanders said in Jakarta on Thursday that the government should be able to address tax compliance in upper-middle-income households. Sanders also said that approximately 20% of citizens are high-income households. They contribute 47% of the consumption figure, stressing that they were huge potential as taxpayers. Robert's predecessors, Ken Wijugiastiadi, said only 78% of the targeted tax revenue of 1.28 quadrillion rupiah, or around $89.85 billion, had been collected as of November. Meanwhile, World Bank Country Director for Indonesia, Rodrigo A. Chavez, said Robert should be able to raise the tax income ratio in the coming years. Jakarta Deputy Governor Sandiaga Uno said in Jakarta on Thursday that his administration will build a waste-to-energy plant in Sunter North Jakarta. After a seven-year post, the international bicycle race the Tour of Indonesia is set to return for 4 days on January 25th to 28th next year. The upcoming race will cover 10 regencies across 3 provinces, Central Java, East Java, and Bali, and consists of 4 stages. It is expected that 17 teams will take part in the event, which will kick off at Borobudur Temple in Magelang, Central Java, and finish in Denpasar, Bali, covering a total distance of 755 kilometers. Head of the Indonesian Cycling Federation, Raja Sapta Oktohari, has said recently that the Tour of Indonesia was listed in the 2.1 category in the Union Cyclists International's calendar. Raja said the Tour of Indonesia 2018 will be a way to show and promote Indonesian tourism effectively. It's because each stage will be designed in such a way as to pass through tourist attractions. He added that contestants would pass through Taman Safari Prigen or Prigen Zoo and see the mountain view in Probolinggo in East Java. Once they arrived in Gilimanuk, Bali, they will pass along Lake Beratan in Tabanan Regency prior to their arrival in Denpasar. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our commentary today entitled Outcome of OIC Summit in Istanbul and Support to Palestine. The unilateral decision of President Donald Trump recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel is opposed by members of the Organization for Islamic Cooperation, OIC. The OIC affirmation was stated as a result of the emergency summit in Istanbul, Turkey, which was attended by President Joko Widodo. Indonesia used the momentum to affirm and voice Indonesian stance on Donald Trump's radical decision. President Joko Widodo emphasized Indonesian stance that rejected Donald Trump's unilateral decision. The Indonesian voice became a boost for the issuance of Istanbul Declaration containing 6 key points. The first point of the OIC is to refuse unilateral U.S. recognition. The next step that must be realized is that all the countries that have the embassies in Tel Aviv, Israel, not to follow the decision of the United States. OIC nations can be the motors to mobilize state support that has not yet recognized Palestinian independence. Regarding diplomatic relations with Israel, the conference calls on OIC member states that relation with Israel to take diplomatic steps, including reviewing their relations. The leaders of OIC not only affirmed diplomatic action but also pay attention to humanitarian issues. The emergency conference in Istanbul called on all OIC members to take joint steps to improve humanitarian aid. What is produced in Istanbul has actually sent a firm and real stance on Donald Trump's unilateral decision. Because of Turkey's close position to Europe, it is highly likely that the outcome of the summit in Istanbul will also have an impact on the attitude of European Union countries to confirm their position. As we know that European countries have shown rejection of the statement and decision of President Donald Trump. The stance that emerged states that U.S. is no longer recognized as a mediator for the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Then the question is whether, by strong rejection and antipathy of Donald Trump's decision, Washington will change its stance or even retract its decision. We still have to wait for further developments and look at the domestic political developments of the United States. Certainly, from the new turmoil posed by Trump's decision, the solidity of supporting the Palestinians has gained a great momentum. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again in our daily program Today in History of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's begin our segment with an event that happened on December 15, 1967, when the Silver Bridge collapsed. The Silver Bridge was an I-bar chain suspension bridge built in 1928 and named for the color of its aluminum paint. The bridge connected Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and Gallipolis, Ohio, over the Ohio River. On December 15, 1967, the Silver Bridge collapsed while it was full of rush hour traffic, resulting in the death of 46 people. Two of the victims were never found. Investigation of the wreckage pointed to the cause of the collapse being the failure of a single I-bar in a suspension chain due to a small defect 0.1 inch depth. Analysis showed that the bridge was carrying much heavier loads than it had originally been designed for and had been poorly maintained. The collapsed bridge was replaced by the Silver Memorial Bridge, which was completed in 1969. The next event was in 2008, when the ASEAN Charter was signed. The ASEAN Charter is a constituent instrument of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. On December 15, 2008, became historical moment for ASEAN member countries. At the day, it did not only indicate the imposition of the charter, but also a symbol that all of the 10 member states still retain the cohesiveness and commitment to establish a solid community in Southeast Asia and unshaken by the various crises. Special meeting of ASEAN foreign ministers in Jakarta on December 15, 2008 was proof of the seriousness of that commitment. Actually, the meeting was part of the conference package of the summit, which should be scheduled in Bangkok. The summit cancelled to be held due to a political crisis in Thailand. Although the summit this year should be monumental forum, by imposing the ASEAN Charter after being ratified by all members since 15 November 2008. And the last event was in 2011, when the US formally withdrew all combat troops from Iraq. The Iraq War was a protracted armed conflict that began with the 2003 invasion of Iraq by a United States-led coalition, which toppled the government of Saddam Hussein. The conflict continued for much of the next decade as an insurgency emerged to oppose the occupying forces and the post-invasion Iraqi government.
an estimated 151,000 to 600,000 or more Iraqis were killed in the first 3 to 4 years of conflict. The United States officially withdrew from the country in 2011 but left private security contractors in its place to continue the war. It again became re-involved in 2014 at the head of a new coalition. The insurgency and many dimensions of the civil armed conflict continue. The invasion began on March 20, 2003, with the U.S. joined by the United Kingdom and several coalition allies, launching a shock bombing campaign. Iraqi forces were quickly overwhelmed as the U.S. forces swept through the country. The invasion led to the collapse of the Ba'athist government. President Saddam Hussein was captured during Operation Red Dawn in December of that same year and executed by a military court 3 years later. However, the power vacuum following Saddam's demise and the mismanagement of the occupation led to widespread sectarian violence between Shias and Sunnis, as well as lengthy insurgency against U.S. and coalition forces. The United States responded with a troop surge in 2007. The U.S. began withdrawing its troops in the winter of 2007-2008. The winding down of U.S. involvement in Iraq accelerated under President Barack Obama. The U.S. formally withdrew all combat troops from Iraq by December 2011. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today entitled, Indonesia Continue to Support Palestine. Indonesia's support for Palestinian struggle will never stop. It will even increase. That was stated by President Joko Widodo during his speech at the Extraordinary Summit Conference of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, in Istanbul, Turkey, on Wednesday, December 13. Indonesian President Joko Widodo emphasized that the support is not only in the form of political support, but Indonesia will continue to improve support for capacity building and support to the Palestinian economy. In terms of foreign policy, President Joko Widodo also said the Palestinian position was at the heart of Indonesia's foreign policy. At the extraordinary OIC summit, Indonesia proposed 6 important points of the attitude of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation member states regarding the recognition of America to Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. According to President Joko Widodo, firstly, the OIC must expressly reject the unilateral recognition. Secondly, the President invites all countries that have embassy in Tel Aviv, Israel, to not follow the decision of the United States to move their embassy to Jerusalem. Thirdly, the OIC can be a motivator to mobilize the state support that has not recognized Palestinian independence to do so. Fourthly, for OIC member countries that have relations with Israel to take diplomatic steps. Fifthly, OIC members should take mutual steps to improve humanitarian aids, capacity building, and economic cooperation to the Palestinians. And the sixth, the President hoped that the OIC could be able to be a motivator for their movement in various international and multilateral forums to support the Palestinians, including the Security Council and the UN General Assembly. Meanwhile, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, on the sidelines of the extraordinary OIC summit, expressed his appreciation for Indonesia's support for the Palestinian struggle in the process toward an independent state. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi in Istanbul, Turkey, on Wednesday explained that the appreciation was submitted directly by Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas when he met with President Joko Widodo. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, President Abbas also called Indonesia as a country outside the Middle East that is mostly fighting for Palestinians' rights. The appreciation is also given by King Jordan, King Abdullah II bin Al-Hussein, for the support of Indonesia to the struggle of the Palestinian people. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said, members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, at the OIC summit on Wednesday, December 13, as one vote, all OIC states rejected the decision of U.S. President Donald Trump to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. In a joint statement, leaders from 57 member countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation recognized East Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine and called on the international community to do the same. That was the focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Chairman of Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI, Kiai Ma'ruf Amin, has invited all religious people to join United Indonesia Action for Palestine, also popular as 1712 Action, at the Embassy of the United States and around National Monument on Sunday, December 17. The World Bank predicts that the growth of Indonesia's gross domestic products, or GDP, will increase to 5.1% by the end of 2017. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution expects the new Yogyakarta International Airport train to operate by 2020. The World Bank has said that newly appointed Director General of Taxation, Robert Pakpahan, who assumed office on December 1, needs to create programs to draw more taxpayers in trying to boost the country's tax revenue. After 7 years post, the international bicycle race, the Tour of Indonesia, is set to return for 4 days on January 25th to 28th next year. Listener, that was Nusin Brief of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Balabalagan Islands. Stay tuned. As an archipelagic country, Indonesia has various marine tourism objects. The famous ones such as Raja Ampat in Papua and Derawan in East Kalimantan. Indonesia actually still has many marine tourism objects. One of them is Balabalagan Islands. For those who like snorkeling and diving, the waters of Balabalagan is appropriate to be explored. Its coral reef is very beautiful, with various types of fish and also turtles that will refresh your eyes. Balabalagan Islands, or its official name Balabalakang, is an island in Makassar Strait off the east coast of Kalimantan, in the middle between Kalimantan and Sulawesi Islands. Administratively, the islands belong to Mamuju Region, West Sulawesi Province. But to get to the tourism object more easily accessible from Balikpapan is Kalimantan. From Balikpapan to Balabalagan, it takes approximately 9 hours by land and sea transportation. The sea travel is taken by speedboat. The Balabalagan Island consists of beautiful islands. Each island has its own characteristics of underwater scenery. At least there are approximately 16 islands in these islands. 9 of them have been inhabited. There are many islands that you can explore and enjoy its natural beauty. Traveling to Balabalagan Islands, you must visit Popongan Island. The island became the main tourism destination as a recommendation for a place to stay. You can homestay at the residents' homes or set up tents. Although the island is populated, around the coast of Popongan Island is clear and become the living habitat of several turtles. For those who want to snorkeling, Sumanga Besar Island and Sumanga Kecil Island become the main choice. Sumanga Besar Island has a great variety of coral reefs and turtles. Coral reefs on the island is very beautiful, but the depth is about 2 to 3 meters. While Sumanga Kecil Island has a white shallow beach, the water is very clear and there are several spots of coral reef where Nemo fish live. Listener, like Sumanga Besar and Sumanga Kecil Islands, Lalungan Island has also similar appeal. The uninhabited island, which is more than 1 hectare wide, has its own uniqueness because its underwater treatment is very beautiful. Just 1 meter from the beach, you can see a beautiful coral reefs. The more you get to the middle of the sea, the more you can enjoy the variety of coral beauty and Nemo fish. In addition, you can enjoy the beauty of the sunset on the island. That was the regular Indonesian Wonderful Today with the topic Balabalagan Islands. And we will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Air World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in our miscellany for today. Listener, Muslims in Indonesia celebrate two times of Lebaran or feast, Idul Fitri and Idul Adha. Idul Fitri is more familiar with common feasts, while Idul Adha is frequently called as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. These two feasts are celebrated cheerfully in Indonesia. In this occasion, Miscellany focuses on the unique activity on celebration of Idul Adha, or usually people call it as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. Listener, today, Friday, September 1st, 2017, coincides with the 10th of Dzulhijjah, 1438, according to the Islamic calendar. Muslims in Indonesia celebrate the Feast of Idul Adha or Feast of the Hajj. Idul Adha is given the name of the Hajj because Muslims are performing the pilgrimage in the Holy Land of Mecca. Idul Adha celebration is different from the Feast of Idul Fitri because the Feast of Idul Adha is celebrated by means of slaughtering sacrificial animals. That's why the Feast of Idul Adha is also called the Sacrifice Feast. The essence of Idul Adha celebrations in all regions, especially in Indonesia, is actually the same: slaughtering sacrificial animals such as cow, goats, sheep, or camels. Then the meat of the sacrificed animals is distributed to people who are considered to poor and needy people. However, in addition to animal slaughter, there are some areas in Indonesia that have a unique way to commemorate the Idul Adha, such as Osing or Using tribe in Banyuwangi, East Java. Banyuwangi native residents carried out Mepe Kasur, or sunning mattress, that was held before the feast of Idul Adha comes. Uniquely, the process of sunning the mattress is performing simultaneously since the morning in front of each home. Occasionally, the mothers will flip and punch with a toolbar or broomstick to re-clean together so as to create a rhythm that is believed to resist the outbreak of the disease. Uniquely again, Osing tribe mattress is all red and black, called Gembil mattress. For local residents, the color of the mattress Gembil has its own meaning, namely black color symbolizing a lasting relationship and red means spring. Listener, different locations have different customs. Such proverb strongly illustrates the diversity of traditions in this republic. If Mepe Kasur Osing tribe in Banyuwangi's Java is done before Hajj, Kaul and Abdau from Tuluhe community in central Maluku will be held every Idul Adha prayer finish. Kaul procession is a sacrificial animal ceremony inspired from the story of the sacrifice of Abraham. At the ceremony of Kaul in Tulehu, the goats to be slaughtered are carried by the customs and religious leaders to be paraded around with zikr and salawat to the Tulehu State Mosque. In this mosque, the goat slaughter ceremony is held. Meanwhile, Abdau is a customary ritual followed by hundreds of Tulehu youths. This activity is similar to grebek traditions in Solo in Yogyakarta. The difference is on the object being contested. If grebek in Solo and Jogja fights over the produce of earth such as long beans, tomatoes, and others, Abdau fights over the flag tied on a bamboo stick on 2 meter high. The procession of this battle will take place while traveling and will end at Tulehu State Mosque. Communities in Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province, still continue to maintain the traditions of hospitality by visiting their fellow citizens not only during Idul Fitr or Lebaran Day, but also in Idul Adha. The celebration of Feast of the Hajj lasts until a week later. The uniqueness of the community in celebrating the feast is that every citizen must serve a layer cake. The layer cake, which becomes a character of Sambas, is a layer of peanut and milk cake. That was Miscellany for today's edition with the topic Enjoy the Variety Tradition of Idul Adha in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. We will meet again in the next Miscellany. Bye-bye.
Tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Dee, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition of Music Corner presents local songs of Makassar, South Sulawesi. So stay tuned with us in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia via shortwave in 9525 kHz, live streaming in www.voi.co.id or through mobile application RRI Play on your smartphone.
Angin mamiri, angin nyerang.
Listener, Angin Mamiri, which literally means the flowing wind, is composed by Bora Daeng Irate and sung by Angel Puff. The song depicts a feelings of a woman who expresses her longing to somebody she loves through poetic words. She stands by the window and sends her longing through the wind. Angin Mamiri is a soft, gentle, and melancholic song. The song is also used for the accompaniment music of Angin Mamiri dance. Angin Mamiri is also well known by the Indonesian community and has been arranged into a few different music genres. Listener, let's listen to another song from South Sulawesi entitled Pakarena by Aulia Anas. Listener, you have just listened to a song entitled Pacarena in the South Sulawesi community. The song is also used for the accompaniment music of a popular Pacarena dance. The song is originating from Makassar and especially composed to accompany the Pacarena dance. That's why the song tells about the Pacarena dance itself. In the song, Pacarena dance is described to be elegant and always displayed in every event in Makassar community. Pacarena song is an upbeat song and composed by Arshad Basir. To wrap up today's music corner, we'll present a song entitled Anak Kukang, composed by Bora Daeng Irate, and tells about the sadness of a child who was discharged from childhood by his parents. Happy listening and sampai jumpa lagi.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.